So I'm not the opening act. But before I begin, Sensei had asked me to let you know why I'm here, so you don't think it's any kind of a coup. He had asked for the senior students, those of us who are senior students, and I think you'll know that by the difficulty you have getting off your cushion. But anyway, he had asked us senior students to think about giving a talk, and I'm not sure if he did that to make it easy on himself so he doesn't have to prepare a talk every week, or he just wants to know whether or not we've actually learned anything in all the years that we've been he's been our teacher. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, after Sensei gave a Dharma talk on the evening Gatha about not squandering our human lives and working to the best of our abilities to take advantage of this human life and end suffering for ourselves and others, a number of us remarked on how the talk addressed something important in our lives that we'd been thinking about, either consciously or just below the surface. And having been around Sensei and our Sangha for a while, I found that this wasn't a rare occurrence, but had happened with some astonishing frequency. And as we remarked on this, I felt gratitude towards our teacher, Sensei Call, for this and other talks he has given over the years, which struck just the right tone. Jim maintains on our website a catalog of talks that he carefully edits, which goes back years, each of which required both inspiration and preparation by Sensei for the benefit of the Sangha. So after Zazen that Sunday, I asked Sensei if I could give a talk. He cautiously responded, looking at me a little concerned, and asked me, "What are you going to talk about?" Since at that point I had only the vaguest idea, I told him I would be talking about the teacher, which I think made him even more nervous. My sense, however, was that he reluctantly agreed, and having encouraged his senior students to give talks, he was more or less boxed in. I know that I wasn't interested in speaking about the importance of the student-teacher relationship in our tradition, and Sensei has addressed this topic a few times in the past. But rather, I wanted to talk about the teacher-sangha relationship and the gratitude/benefit of having a good and compassionate teacher. I have just come back from a week in Ocean Grove with my son, daughter-in-law, wife, and three grandchildren, ages 4, 2, and 2 months. On our last evening there, I was crossing one of the bridges between Ocean Grove and Asbury Park with Dorian, my 4-year-old grandson. And when, like a small child is likely to do, he stood up to peer over the rail of the bridge into the river. Having seen her big brother do this, Serena, his 2-year-old sister, followed suit. So they're both sort of hanging there over the railing. Anyway, seeking to avoid either of them falling off the bridge and into the river, thereby incurring the wrath of my wife, son, and daughter-in-law, I told Dorian to climb down from the railing right now. And much to my surprise, he listened to me, as did Serena, his sister. Once he climbed down and we continued walking across the bridge, the thought occurred to me and I said to him that being a big brother came with responsibilities because his 2 little sisters would be watching him and copying his every move. I don't know if he got this or not, but after I said that to him, he looked up at me, locked eyes with me, and said, "Pop, Pop, can we get ice cream?" So what does this have to do with the talk? Well, after that incident, and while thinking about what I was going to say, I decided to look up the word sensei, since we use it all the time in referring to sensei. The word actually derives from 2 Chinese characters, which roughly translated mean the one who came before, or the one who was born first. I found it interesting that my comments to Dorian would somehow find connection with the meaning of sensei, as the firstborn one. Hopefully this means that Sensei Carl will help us either avoid falling off the bridge into the river or crossing over it. I have also been thinking about the past year and how we have held together as a community, and I give a lot of credit to Sensei for his guidance and wisdom over this time, as well as for the many years that he has served as the teacher of our Sangha. From what I can gather, there are as many different teaching styles as there are teachers, and one size does not fit all. Plus, while there is a formal recognition of the status or role of teacher via what's known as the transmission outside the words and scripture, there is no, quote, school that one attends to become a teacher. We do not have colleges or universities where one goes to study to become a teacher in the Zen tradition, as far as I know. You do not walk into the Zendo or Daisan room and see a diploma hanging on the wall. And there is no formal recognition or certification by the state, and no continuing education requirement. The three refuges, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the teacher, the teachings, and the community that are held together by the teacher, the teachings, and one another. From what I have read, the Buddha taught to large groups of persons, some of whom became disciples, monks, nuns, etc. But beyond the twirling flower story, I don't know that the Buddha gave face-to-face instruction or passed on a way of one-to-one teaching, as opposed to speaking before thousands of monks, nuns, and laypeople. And yet, at each transition ceremony that I've attended, the lineage is recited from the Buddha to the Indian masters, to the Chinese masters, to the Japanese masters, and to contemporary Zen teachers up to the teacher making the transition. Yet much of this process seems to be a mystery, and intentionally so. It seems to be a process of feeling yourself along in the darkness, stubbing your toes, and falling down again and again. But somehow a teacher emerges from this process, and sometimes you get lucky, and that teacher finds you, and you find that teacher. I feel that our community has been fortunate to have found Sensei, and for Sensei to have found us. We have supported each other over the years, and I believe that this support and our interactions have made us better students and have made Sensei a better teacher. It takes an interesting motivation, possibly the relief of suffering, who knows, and a lot of work to become a teacher. And from what I know, Sensei spend long hours traveling back and forth to Jersey City at 5 a.m. or earlier doing Zazen and face-to-face instructions with his teacher, Roshi Kennedy, working on a long series of koans, doing sesshins, and engaging in all the work necessary to somehow qualify as a teacher in our tradition. And remember that this work has to be done out of love, because it sure isn't done for the money. It takes a lot of time and sacrifice also, and a lot of patience and understanding from family, friends, and significant others. Plus, once you have achieved the status of a sensei, you have to work with people from various backgrounds, disciplines, interests, etc., who are drawn to this practice for so many reasons, often to relieve suffering in their lives by seeking, quote, enlightenment. Somehow, sensei must discourage this idea of enlightenment and yet encourage them to remain committed to a practice which says, you're not here to attain anything, and you'll not get anything from spending all the time that you have to spend with this practice. Not necessarily encouraging words to people looking for something to actually attain. I just felt that I wanted to take some time to recognize and appreciate the enormous work and sacrifice that Sensei Carl has made, and through his kindness, efforts, and compassion, he has helped keep our Sangha together and thriving for so many years. And to hope that he will continue to do so for many more as we hopefully return to a practice that places a premium on sitting together in intimacy and immediacy. Just want to sort of end by reading a short haiku from Sensei from the book that he wrote with his best friend Alan Geddes called Embracing Life as It Is. The windshield wiper sound comforts me driving home from my brother's wake. The windshield wiper sound comforts me driving home from my brother's wake. It has certainly been my pleasure to have worked with Sensei over the years and to have deepened my practice through our association. Now, in order to avoid Sensei from getting any more of a swelled head than he already has, once you have heard this talk, please promptly forget it, never mention it again, and I'm hoping that Jim burns this tape. Thank you.